Good morning. We realize that when Pastor Larry goes away, we also leave. We lose a lot of our music, so it makes for maybe a little shorter service. That's why we're starting a little later than we normally do, because he usually plays his music up close to 11 o'clock. But while you're standing, please. It's good exercise, anyways. We'll say our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Okay, now we'll do the responsive reading. It's from Psalm 33 and 34. And I'll start. The bold type is what you read. Obviously, you know the routine. Our soul waits for the Lord. For our heart shall rejoice in him. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us. I will bless the Lord at all times.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul shall make its boast in the Lord.
The humble shall hear of it.
Oh, continue your loving kindness
to those who shall hear you,
and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Amen. Prayer testimonies. If anybody wants to make a prayer testimony, they may. I know Pastor Larry does the prayer testimony, but if somebody wants to make a short prayer testimony, they're welcome to it. Our prayer list is always in the bulletin. My prayer is that you'll hear my word. I had a hard time trying to put it together. It's funny, when you want to write stuff down, it's a lot harder than what you have in your mind and how you want to put it down. So hopefully my message to you people is something that you'll take in and think about. But I pray to the Lord that he will accept, and you will accept my message and take it into your heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. I know that over the years, this church used to be full and has dwindled down because of the community. And if we look around, we are kind of an older group. Not everybody. I know John and his family, and I know Nancy and Fred. But we're an older group that we tend to, where most of us are retired. I know Sergio isn't there yet. So my message is for the young and the older, but it's for everybody. That the message is why are we here? What brings us to church? Coming to church, is it something that we look forward to? Is it for the social part? I mean, we know everybody's name here because we're small. We enjoy each other's company most of the time. Is it to hear the word of God? And that should be the most important part of why you come to church. Is Sunday your day of rest, starting with the worship service? Where are we in our Christian faith journey? The older we get, I think the more we start to think about it. I know when we're younger and we're working and we're busy, most of us probably did go to church. We raised our kids, we brought them to church. But we were wrapped up in life, and we didn't really, really maybe read the scriptures that much. We knew the Bible. We had a Bible in our house. We looked at it when we went to church. We'd hear the minister speak. Are we unsure about our next life? Do we believe you have to be born again? What does that mean, to be born again? we're here. We're all Christians, and the Bible teaches us to gather. So the first part of our Sunday, Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among you." Also, the Bible tells us to rest on the sixth day. It's one of the Ten Commandments, which seems like Christianity in America kind of puts that one aside now. It's not as important or big as the other ones. But in the Bible, it does say, 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh you shall rest. And to meet together. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another in love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Which some of us think about that more than we did when we were younger. Especially as we lose loved ones, friends, family, in our journey through life. Gathering together to hear the Word of God. And the Word of God is, Jesus is the Word, but also the Bible is the Word. So it's kind of together, but it means two things depending on how it's written in the Bible. The Word of God should be something we look forward to each week. It is an important part of our faith journey. Coming to church should be a very important part of our faith journey. Not the only part, but an important part. We are here because we are looking for eternal life. Jesus tells us that. If we believe the Bible, we want to understand the Bible, this is what we're here for. Jesus Christ. Christian faith is the belief that Jesus is the Son of God. That is our belief. Jesus is the only way to heaven. That is also our belief. A lot of Christianity in America now is kind of wavering from that. But if your faith is in the Bible teaches that He is the only way. Jesus is the only way that is the only one that rose from the dead. No other religion, no other faith, no other savior, no other prophet, no other leader has made that claim. So we are here as a Christian believing that there is no other way except through Jesus Christ. We, as we get in our later years, do we believe that? Are we ourselves wavering a little bit? It's all for us to study and to learn and to understand. He is the only way. Amen. John 14:6 in the Bible. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We, as Christians in life after death, whether in heaven or hell, forever, we will be somewhere after this life on earth. We, if you can look at yourself, if you believe you are a Christian, you believe in Jesus, He is our spiritual person, then we also are a spiritual being. We're here for plus or minus 100 years. And then eternity, which we believe. Obviously, we're here. We believe in eternity. We believe in Jesus, that we are going to be somewhere. Are we sure of where we're going to be? The Bible has many, many hard teachings about that. But we look at ourselves in our human form, and sometimes that's all we think about. We don't think about yesterday. We think about now. We think of right now. But eventually all of us are going to be somewhere. Are we sure of where we're going to be? The Bible tells us how we should live for those plus or minus 100 years. Do we take the instructions of this Bible seriously? Do we study it enough? The Bible is our instruction book. If we are Christians and we believe in life after death. Instructions in this book are very clear, but they're hard to follow. We all get lost. We all fall short. We all make mistakes. I wrote down some of the truths from the Bible, which are hard to understand, hard to take in, hard to say, is this true? Matthew 6, 13 through 14. The narrow way. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads us to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. That's a tough teaching. Very tough. And, you know, maybe like you people, me, you know, I didn't really, when I was younger, again, my life was moving, raising the kids, doing work. You know, you didn't really absorb it that much. You went to church, but you just went around, you continued on with your life. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wondrous things in your name. And Jesus will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who are practicing lawlessness. In that part there, I see a lot of my friends from my younger days, my high school days. We get together a lot. And it's funny, I look at things a little different now when I get together with them. A lot of the things when a bunch of guys get together are not the nicest things that come out of our mouths. One of my friends, an example, is he goes to a church. I'm not going to say where. He's a deacon. He wears a suit every time he goes to church. He looks like the pillar of a deacon. And yet, when we get together for breakfast or we go to different restaurants in the evening, what comes out of his mouth surprises me. Because here I'm looking at him as a pillar of the church. And yet still things come out that I look in a way as saying, here's someone that I look up to. Deacon dresses better than I do when he goes to church. I mean, years ago we used to dress in suits. Everybody had a tie, a jacket on. Now we come to church and we dress whatever way we want to dress. If we were going to a wedding, we wouldn't dress the way we dress, me included. And if we were going to a funeral, we wouldn't dress the way we dress. We look at the church not as important as a wedding or a funeral. Do we look at it as, is this God's house? If this is God's house, should we look at it differently? These are just things that I think about a lot. I feel guilty sometimes when I'm not dressed in a jacket and a suit. I see Jim, he told me a long time ago, he said he has to wear a jacket and a tie because if he didn't, his mother would be looking down on him and yelling at him. But I just see things differently now. I see that if you really want to know the Lord, you want to find out about him, and then you study him, you change. I would think you would change a little bit. I don't know. I'm not judging anybody because I myself make the same mistakes. Matthew 10:20, 32 to 33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. I know that, again, I'll bring up my friends from my childhood and high school days. We get together for breakfast. We've been doing this for years. And I had a hard time wanting to say a prayer or grace before we had to participate in our food. And that bothered me. It really bothered me that I couldn't bring myself to do it. I felt funny. I felt out of place. But I did finally do it. And it, the first couple of times, it was a little awkward. But now they have accepted it, and now they wait. And we all gather. We gather hands, and we say a prayer before breakfast. And I said, not so much for them, but for me, that I'm doing this. I'm showing the Lord in front of people. Not that you have to say anything other than the prayer, but we know when we go to the diner how that works, and people look at us and people comment to us. Little things. But I just wanted to say that my friends now, hopefully they're starting to think a little bit more about the Lord and the Bible. How can we be sure of eternity in heaven and that our names are written in the book of life? That is in Revelation, the book of life. Our names, if your name isn't in there, you're in trouble. John 3:3. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Receiving Jesus as your Savior, you become a new person. That's what that means. It doesn't mean you're born again. It means that now that you are born again, you are looking at your life differently. And Jesus said it a couple times in the Bible, when you will be born again. John 3:13-22. That was long, so I didn't write it down. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, Jesus. That is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Again, hard teachings in a world that we tend to look at religion as it's whatever you want to make of it. Whereas the Bible is very, very distinct as to how we should be, how we should act, and what we should believe. In John 5:24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come to judgment, but has passed from death to life. John 6:47, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. So, if you want to understand the Bible, it tells us we have to be born again. When we are born again, we look at Jesus, we look at our life differently because of what we've learned from the Bible. And Jesus is in heaven right now. He is coming back. But we have to have the faith to believe that. When we have the faith that we believe that, then we have grace. Grace is our ticket into heaven. That is the way to get to heaven. Grace, if you have received Jesus as your Savior, you have You are living under grace. Under Jesus' grace, you are now or should be living under a higher standard of living. People should see that change in you. When you are born again and you receive Jesus, you don't accept Jesus. You receive him. He's there for everybody. He's there to be received. You don't all of a sudden say, well, all right, I accept him. No, he's there. You have to receive him. Under Jesus' grace, you are should be living under a higher standard of behavior. One of the teachings in the Bible, and there's quite a few of them, but I'll use the one about if you commit adultery. That's a sin in the Bible. But Jesus said, if you even think or lust that way, you are committing the sin. And if you think about being born again, and now you're looking at things differently, you're looking at it as you don't even want to think that way, let alone do that. Once you're, if in our society, in the way that this world, this country has gone so downhill, and all these objects are in front of you, that's probably why Jesus knew more than we did. It's not only committing adultery. All this sexual stuff is in front of us. We should not even look at it, even think that. And when we do, we are, by Jesus' standards, we are committing adultery just like the person that is committing it. So there's a higher standard that we bring ourselves to when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Grace also is not an excuse for your bad behavior. It is the freedom to do what you know is right according to the teachings of the Bible and Jesus' teachings. And a lot of this that I'm talking about, it's me also understanding where I am in my faith journey. What is faith? In Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, which is going to church, hearing Pastor Larry preach. It is reading the Bible, studying the Bible. In 2 Corinthians 5, setting, walk by faith, not by sight. In the New Testament, the disciples had Jesus in front of them. We don't. We have our faith that tells us Jesus is the way. You have to feel like Jesus is around you all the time. Whatever you do, whatever your walk in life, you should feel like he's right here with me. So when you tend to want to do something that isn't right, you know he's right there with you, patting you, touching you, saying, no, no, no. Galatians 3:25. We are justified by faith. We are now justified in the belief that Jesus is the way. Ephesians 2:8. By grace we are saved through faith. Faith is so important, to have that faith that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the only one. He is the way. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How true is that? How very true is that? So where do we improve our faith? How do we get more understanding, more knowledge? My suggestion for learning more about being a Christian is studying the Bible more. Get a study Bible. The Bible in itself, I read it twice all the way through. First time I read it, I just read it. That's it. Didn't understand it, I just read it. The second time I read it, I got a little more out of it. I realized that the Old Testament is a history lesson. I listened to a lot of ministers on TV, and one of them made the comment, which I believe, that if it was only the New Testament, people would not have believed Jesus, because the Old Testament with all the prophecies, points to a Savior, Jesus. So the Old Testament is there. If it wasn't for the Old Testament, a lot of people would have just wrote it off. But the Old Testament is basically 2,000 years of people prophesizing that Jesus is coming. It's a long time. We're only here for 100 years. But 2,000 years of the Israelites waiting for their prophet, their Savior. The study Bible is a good way to read, and if you don't understand a passage, you look down at the bottom of a study Bible and it explains a lot of the passages. There's a lot of study Bibles out there. I know our Bible study, people have a couple of different ones, but it's a good way to try and understand the Bible a little more. If you were to read the Bible, it is very, very hard to understand, confusing. Another way to understand the Bible is if you just don't have a study Bible, but if you have a Bible where everything that Jesus says is in red, just read the red. Just read Jesus' teachings. It gives you a better insight. John is a very good gospel to read. Hebrews is where Paul steps in. Paul steps in after Jesus, and a lot of the books after the Gospels is very, very educational. Paul explains, especially in Romans, a lot. But that's another way of trying to understand the Bible. You're not going to understand it in a day or two. You're not going to understand it in a week, a month. We're probably never going to understand every part of it, but that's where faith comes in. You have to trust your faith that the Bible is true and to study it more and more. The other thing is come to a Bible study. We have a Bible study. We have a lot of discussions. Most of us have a study Bible. Each one's a little different. I'm sure anybody that comes to the study Bible class would recommend one or the other for someone if they want to, you know, learn more about the Bible. But the Bible is so important in our faith to keep. If all you're doing is coming to church for this hour and a half, maybe even shorter because I'm doing the sermon, if that's all you're getting out of your faith, that's not enough. You have to, years ago, I started reading the Bible. It's a slow process, a very slow process. But the more you start reading, the more you start studying, the more your faith grows, the more you want to learn more, you want to know more. Our Bible study group has these Bibles, so they can suggest a good one, as there are many different ones. And as I said, come to the Bible study. And in our Bible study, I have thought about a little bit, because I know as we get older, I know some of us in the wintertime have a hard time driving at night, getting there. So I've been kind of thinking about different options, nothing that I'm going to bring up now, but starting a little earlier, a different time, a different day. I don't know. It's just something that if it's important to you people to come, and I know a lot of you have trouble driving at night, it's something that we should look at. And consider. And as I said, also a regular Bible, if all you have is a regular Bible and Jesus's words are in red, start with Matthew and read all the verses in red. You will learn so much about Jesus just by reading his sayings. I know that as a Protestant church, congregational church, Lent isn't anything that we tend to, I don't want to say celebrate, but we mention, but it is the Lenten season right now. And I know the Catholic Church, they have their Lenten season. And it is in the Catholic Church and in some of the other religions out there, it is a solemn religious observance in the Christian liturgical calendar, starting on Ash Wednesday, which was, I think, a week or two ago. And it lasts about 6 weeks, 40 days, before Easter, which is coming up. The purpose of Lent is preparation. And in a way, Lent is a good thing. Lent is an important part of your faith journey. the way congregational churches are, it's open to us, to whatever Pastor Larry really doesn't bring it out because he says it's not in the Bible, and it isn't. Lent isn't in the Bible. But Lent is also a way to re-establish your studies and your concentration on Jesus. I mean, the purpose of Lent is preparation for Easter. It's prayer, do more praying, do penance, repentance, and fasting. And I know a lot of us don't do fasting. Pastor Larry speaks about fasting. Fasting should be done personally and in a way of honoring God in a way. I mean, I don't have much weight on me, so I don't do much fasting. But it's something to think about. The last week of Lent is Holy Week, which is coming up pretty quick. And I just feel that being in this season right now, maybe we should all, including me, rededicate ourselves to learning more about the Bible, not just coming to church and having Pastor Larry preach from the Bible, but to open it at home. And there are ways of opening it at home, as I said, by reading, getting a study Bible, and the church will get you a study Bible if you want one. If you want one, ask us. There's a couple of different ones. I know that the Bible study group, I think quite a few of you have a certain one that you follow. But, you know, just read, just open up. Just open up in the New Testament. If it's in red, just look at it, read it. Even if you do it for 5 minutes a day. Some people do it in the morning, some people doing it at night. But I want everyone to be, including me, assured, know that we will enter heaven and be in the Book of Life. That's what I want every one of you to know and want and know for sure. That is what would make me very happy, that you are coming here, your faith is strong, and you are trying to be a better person for Jesus, and you, through your receiving Jesus and becoming a new person, you know, through grace, you will be in heaven. Amen. That's my sermon. I want everybody to know that the Bible is very, very instructive, and it is very hard to understand, but the more you get into it, the more you study it, it will elevate you. It will just do something that it did in me, I can't get enough now. Don't ask me why. I don't know why this has been in me, but God must be watching over me. I can't even watch TV anymore. I tape on Sunday. I have a DVR. I don't know if some people have Frontier cable or Comcast, but you can tape certain ministers on Sunday morning so you don't have to sit there and watch them. And then at night, I must have every week 20 different lessons. I can't even begin to turn on regular TV because I want to hear what one of these ministers spoke about. Not that I take it to heart, but I want to hear different opinions. Coming to church, coming to hear Pastor Larry is very, very important. But also getting fed more during the week is also important. So I do that. My Bible, if you saw my coffee table, it's covered with Bibles. I have different Bibles. You got the King James Version, which is hard to understand because it's in the old King James, the way they spoke. The New King James Version is what Pastor Larry uses, which is very good. There's a Revised Standard, which is very good. Sometimes if you don't understand something in the New King James Version, I go to the Standard Version and see how they word it. It's worth worded differently, but it still all means the same thing. So it doesn't have to be a specific Bible, as long as it's the Word and not altered Word of the Bible. There's Bibles out there that are altering the Word, so you got to be careful. Some of the ministers that are on Sunday morning, I listen to. I know there used to be a lot of talk about Joel Osteen and his ministry. I'm not recommending him, but there's other ministers that preach strictly from the Word. Also on your computer, if you have Facebook, you can Google names. John MacArthur, David Jeremiah. There's many that I can... What's his name? I forget his name now, but there's names that I know. Robert Jeffress, he's on there every Sunday. I get like, right now on my DVR, I got 17 lessons from him that I'm trying to get through. But he actually, when President Trump was going to be president, he actually was one of the ministers that was counseling him. That's where I found out about him, and he was on TV, and I found about him. There's so many ministers that are available to us to learn and study about what's in this book, to educate us as to what's in this book, so that we know through grace that we are going to be in heaven. And I'll say amen again, and now we will go to the Lord's Supper. But it's just something on my heart I wanted to bring out. I'm not convicting anybody, especially me. I convict myself because there's a lot of things that I feel I'm not doing enough. I feel guilty sometimes when I, you know, like I say, I go by somebody stuck on the side of the road and I drive by. I feel guilty. There's other ways that you can help people that we feel guilty. I know that we look at the church, and tithing is a big issue in a lot of the ministries. One of the ministers that I listened to, he said, you don't tithe, you're robbing God. I mean, then you look at it that way. Sometimes you look at the church and you say, oh, the church is doing fine, they got plenty of money, I don't need to donate. That isn't what tithing's about. Tithing's about giving back to the Lord. Giving back to the Lord. There's so many different teachings out there that make you start to think a little bit differently. And I just hope all of you, and I don't know, maybe all of you do read your Bible every day, and then I'm talking to no one. I'm not talking to anybody. Everybody does that. But I just want to say how important it is for me to express how important it is that you do these things. Thank you.
Spoke the words, God so loved the world. I had in my hands planning to play for communion. God so loved the world. It's, I, you know, one of those things. You're saying it, and I'm thinking that, and I put it out here. So I just wanted to share, because I think we all have those things happen to us, and you say, my gosh, I just thought that. And you hear it maybe someone else saying it, or you read the word, or the So, God said that.
God loves the world. He loves all of us. He wants us all in heaven.